So this is our writer's mastermind, and I am so excited to share some things with you. First of all, don't forget in January, go to any one of the Mondays on the calendar and click through on the link to get the Zoom ID code. It's going to be a whole new code starting in January, and all my Zoom calls are going to have the same code. And that's going to be huge for us. I don't know about you. Thank you. I don't know about you, but as for me, when I start to get on a call, I'm always like, oh my gosh, what's the code? Where did I write it down? Where is the link? Where can I click through? And they're all different. So Debbie and I came up with a system a while back when we had all the different calls, is we put them on an index card and we had like the Build a Better Business was this one and the bloggers was that one. And Debbie's got her card. There it is.
I guess now I
So,
have to rip it up.
oh, look.
How old-fashioned is this?
I
This
have a
is
Kathy Bitter file. Oh
the antique filing system, and inside I have your number. So
I love it. I love it. I'm in her filing system.
that's
So
it. Teacher
we're
habits never die.
Yeah, I love that. So we're going to have one Zoom number for everything. Now, I can already see where the confusion's going to come in. There's going to be some new folks that are going to tap through and get the Zoom ID. Then they're going to go, what Monday am I supposed to tap in on? And they may tap in on a wrong Monday, but it's going to be every Monday at noon. If you just come in on the same Zoom code, you'll get a lesson on something. It may not be the one you're looking for, but you'll get a lesson on something. But anyway, this particular call for the writers, and I have to go back to my calendar just to be sure that I'm saying it correctly, because January is our odd month, and the writers is going to be the second Monday of every month at noon for the writers group, and it's going to be writers and bloggers and authors all rolled into one. But it's the third Monday in January only because the first is on a Monday. So that's the odd month is January, right out of the chute. So it's going to be January 15th. But then after that, it'll be the second Monday. But for those of you that are in more than one lane with me, we're just going to be on Mondays at noon. Same Zoom code every Monday. So kind of tap in on that and you won't miss anything that way. So that's the fun part. So, gosh, thank you for being on. I love that Sandy's here, of course, always, and Debbie and Elise. And Elise is working as a virtual assistant. You see that there in her little Hollywood square, if you will. You can see her virtual assistant title. And so today is something that might interest you, Elise, because are you still doing any college courses or no?
Ooh, no, ma'am. I can't get me back. I can't. Oh, okay, I can't say can't. It would take a very, very strong influence for me to go back.
Well, so you're either going to love or hate today's call. Did you like or did you hate writing term papers?
I had a love-hate relationship with them because I'm an excellent writer and could knock out a three-page paper in 2 hours before class, and my professor would tell me, hey, I like to put your papers on the bottom so when I get done with the rest of the trash, I can read it. I said, oh,
That's
guys,
what
I didn't do much.
I did. Okay. So what I hear you saying is that you do have an aptitude there of writing term papers. And that's one of the things that we're going to talk about. And when I share my screen, you'll kind of see how it all flows together. Now, Debbie, you're writing blog posts, and are you writing any modules for your homesteading? I mean, are you doing anything? And you're also in the middle of writing your book. Debbie and I, we're in a little competition together. I'm on chapter 10. I'm supposed to be on chapter 12 because we had kind of made a commitment that we were going to write a chapter a month. And Debbie, I think you said you were what? Oh, she's covering her face. I think you said you were on what? Chapter five, six, four, five. Okay, chapter. Okay. So I get it. I get it. And Sandy, of all folks, will get it because she just is writing and is has her work chosen. Sandy, she's my co-host, my co-mod for the Writer's Mastermind. Tell us what you have just accomplished and what that's all about. Congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. You know, it's like a like research papers. I have a love-hate relationship with the whole writing publishing process. And whenever I get done with a chunk of it, it's like, well, now what do I do? How do I do this? So it for a while there, I had two books finished and didn't get any positive responses from submissions. So I stopped for a while. Chicken. I probably should have pursued it. I should have probably joined this group that probably would have said, go for it, keep it up. But anyway, it had been a while. And then well, not too long ago, I had good stories. They just didn't go anywhere. I went to my short stories, and I love shorts, writing short stories. And there was the Ohio Writers Association in this area, and if you're from Ohio, I'd suggest, and even not, I suggest looking them up. And they offered an anthology almost yearly of short stories. So I submitted one of mine and was one of, I think, 20 chosen. So just the boost I needed. And there was a little gathering party not too long ago for the writers who had submitted and were chosen. And it was just good. It was the boost I needed. But as somebody says, if you do not submit it out there to anybody, you don't know. You just don't know. So now it's just been great. It's been done in audio. So it's like, wow, I didn't have to worry about the audio version. It's out there because it's a collective. It's out there in all the right places. So that's good. It's good. It was a good feeling.
Oh, Sandy, congratulations. I love that. I love that. And again, I just have to say this for those that are on this call. Writers write. Writers write. If you're a writer, you're writing because you it's just it comes out of you. You want to write. And so like Sandy said, she had these short stories, they just didn't go anywhere, and now they are. So I love that. That's a perfect story. Yes, Debbie.
Can we read them somewhere online?
Yeah, they're on. It's the anthology is called House of Secrets, and yes, it's out there. It's definitely out there. Thank you for asking.
House of Secrets. Okay.
And I'm going to be anthology is spelled how?
ANTHOLOGY.
I have
Sandy,
to
you're
go back
better
to
than me. I
school.
would have had to have looked that one up.
I was taking it carefully. I'm a visual speller, so I never scored well on spelling bees in the class in when I was a kid and my school had them. Oh, those nuns. Anyway, so I always but anyway, so I'm proud of myself. It's put out by the Ohio Writers Association, and
Yes, I
really
love that.
it's good. And now I've got to get back into the swing of things because there are a lot of places. And again, short stories is not everybody's forte, but there are a lot of places and that will take short stories. And it's not bad. I do like it.
Sandy, what constitutes a short story? How many words, paragraphs, what size of a story is considered in the writing circles as a short story?
Approximately, and everything is done in word count, not page count. Approximately 17,000 words is considered a short story, but that's broken down. You could do a flash fiction, which is 50 to 150 words. Some will go a little higher than that. But by all means, if you're scouting around, I think a class or two ago, we were talking about Submittable and some other places where you can find out, just look and see what does the place you want to send your story, what is their word count? What are they looking for? Because you go above 17,000 and you're looking at novellas, which is a
Right.
little shorter than novels, so it does vary.
Yeah, I get that. And also, when you're submitting, they have the submission outlines, don't they?
They
So they
do.
tell you what they're looking for. Did you have to alter your short stories a lot to get it to fit their submission?
It happens, not in this one because it was more No, I didn't have to for this one, but I have altered mine before to fit a word count. And it's rather challenging. And I find it educational for myself to say, can I drop 150 words from this? And if I do, sometimes it really makes it better. You cut out the riffraff and you get straight to the point. So short stories are their own interesting guideline. But that happens in novels as well. If you're doing a romance novel, it is a at the minimum 45,000 words, at the maximum probably 65,000. But
Okay. Okay.
if you enter into the science fiction fantasy world, oh, those folks, my goodness, you can go 90,000 and above real easily. So it does vary by genres. Mysteries, I can't say, they're probably somewhere around that 45,000 to higher. And again, if you're famous like J.K. Rowling, she could put out a 945 page mystery she came out with a couple of months ago. So, it all depends.
I have to look
Yeah.
that up.
And again,
I like her.
it's a creative endeavor. So, you can create whatever you want to create and stick to your guns. But at the end of the day, if you want to monetize your writing, at the end of the day, you have to remember that books are business. And so a lot of folks will push back against that and say, oh, I just want to write for me and I want to write what I feel or what I think or whatever. And that's fine. And if you're writing for yourself and for your family and however you want to write is fine. But if you hope to monetize your writing, you do have to pay attention to some of those formulas because books are business. The big publishers, they know what sells. We know what we like to read. Again, part of it is what we're expecting. I love a mystery with a light romance tied in. Just something kind of light because I read more for entertainment. And when I am reading fiction, I read for entertainment. And so if it goes on too long, or if it's, after a while, I have a tendency to kind of put it down and not come back to it because it's just not what I was expecting. And so that's part of the formula is to give your audience what they're expecting. So it goes back to, what is it that the audience wants and what are they expecting? So anyway, just a little segue there as I chase that squirrel a little bit. Bless you, Debbie. So anyway, I want to talk today about another way to monetize our writing. This is just an additional way to monetize. And I have to share my screen here and bear with me just a moment because I've got so many windows open up on my computer. So I want to start with going to our course. Helping you get published. And if I scroll down, I'm just going to scroll past down to what we've been talking about. When you start, the topics covered in the course, we talked about, and we just went right down this list. We talked about a publishing route and editing and feedback and how to title your manuscript, formatting, designing your book cover, writing your description, creating a launch plan, publishing to online retailers, and marketing strategies. But then we made a little segue and we said, how that's all about publishing a book, but how else can we monetize writing in general? And of course, we've talked about bloggers. We have a whole bloggers group that's going to be joining us in January. But when you want to monetize, you can do freelance writing. And we did a whole segment on how to become a freelance writer. It's a 10-step guide. We talked last time about ghostwriting, entering the craft of ghostwriting, and then six ghostwriting job sites to get you started. But today we want to talk about paper writing service. Does everybody know what a paper writing service is? And this
No.
is it goes back to my question to Elise. And we're going to talk about it is crafting a research paper. Write a
Oh.
paper writing service. Now, I don't know about you, but everybody is crazy, crazy busy. And there are those that are good at writing, and there are those that are not good at writing. And those that are not good at writing that have a crazy life that have to write a research paper, oftentimes they will hire someone to write their research paper. You can monetize your writing if you're a good writer and by writing research papers, Elise. Hint, hint, wink, wink. So, I don't want to dwell on this. I don't know that any of us in this group were actually set out to write research papers, but this is a great opportunity if you do have an aptitude there. Again, it involves academic writing, analysis, interpretation, argument-based, in-depth, independent research. And so, if I were to write a research paper, I would love to get a topic that I also am passionate about. Now, you don't have to be interested or even passionate about the topic because you're writing for someone else. It's almost like a ghost writing thing as well, but you're doing it in a research paper type format. So, similar to essays, research papers are more extended assignments and they're designed to evaluate both your writing skills and your scholarly research capabilities. So, grasping the assignment. The first point is you have to thoroughly understand the assignment task sheet, and you have to just read that carefully. You have to identify the assignment goals, the deadlines, the length, the formatting. This is everything we talked about where Sandy just submitted her short stories. You have to fit the mold. You have to fit the assignment. And sometimes that's harder than it looks. You have to create a bulleted list of key points and then cross them off as you progress and consider your time frame and word limit, planning time for your research, your writing, and your editing. So now you have to choose the topic. This may be something you, as the ghost writer, if you will, can choose, but it may be something that the person you're writing for just tells you, this is what my topic is that I have to write about. So you have to generate ideas through brainstorming because, again, they might have a general topic and you might be able to help them hone in on a specific topic. So it makes your research a little easier. And then you just get all of those interesting topics out there. You have to gain inspiration from maybe existing research and then aim for some original as well. Then you have to do step three, your preliminary research. And this is a tough one, especially if it's a topic you don't know a lot about. You have to look for issues to focus your paper around. What are the issues with that topic? Look for a variety of sources. So maybe you're looking at journals, books, websites, and then you have to challenge your ideas and look for contradictions so you don't state something as concrete and maybe there's another whole side to the argument. But then on step four, you're going to develop a thesis statement. And that's a concise statement for your central argument. This is once you've narrowed down your topic, this is going to be what is your argument, your central argument to the paper. It answers your research question and it guides your paper. It should be contentious, concise, and coherent, and expect to revise it. Again, sometimes I, and at least since you're pretty good at writing these papers, sometimes I end up writing the paper first and then creating the thesis statement at the end. Because if I start the statement first, my paper, it's hard to maybe, my paper wants to take on a life of its own. And for those of us that are writers, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes your writing takes on its own life and goes its own direction, and you have to come back and revisit that statement. And so it don't be upset if you have to go back and revise and refine that. Then you're actually going to create the outline. It's a list of the key topics, the arguments, the evidence for your paper. It provides your roadmap, and then it also help you organize your writing. And Sandy, do you write with outlines when you write even a fiction? Do you outline?
I do start with an outline. It's less scary that way, but that doesn't necessarily mean I stick with it, but I adjust it along the way. But I like outlines.
I do too, because it kind of keeps me with the beginning, middle, and end. It kind of keeps me in that framework. So then you're ready to write your first draft. Now you have to prioritize maintaining forward momentum and over perfection. And this is the tough part in writing. Yes, Debbie, question.
I'm sorry, but I wanted to go back to the previous
Yes.
statement,
Yeah.
the creating an outline. Wouldn't you consider creating an outline the same thing as with writing a book? Because
Absolutely.
don't you have, don't is doesn't it flow better if you, I mean, what was that thing that we did many years ago about mapping? What was that called?
brain mapping, or we just made the post-it notes where we could then move around. Now, Debbie, funny you should say that. I and Elise mentioned this, I don't know, many, many calls ago. Elise, you might remember this. The Trello board. I really like the Trello board because it's a virtual, pegboard. So instead of putting all of my post-it notes up there, I can create the cards on my Trello board. And just like my post-it notes where I can pull it off and move it over to another column, I can scoot those cards in that Trello board into whatever column that they go with as my outline is unfolding. So I do like the Trello for mapping. So
what's the website for the Trello?
It's just trello.com and okay. Bear with me here.
I don't want to get you away from what you're doing, but
I remember where I'm at. This is my Trello, and here is the magazine. I do the magazine on the Trello board, and here is my book, The Scarf, on the Trello board.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing that. I appreciate it.
And we can have a whole lesson on Trello board sometimes.
Sounds good.
Yeah, because it is very handy. It is very handy. Now, I say that to say this. There's a million and one tools out there that you can use. You don't have to use the actual Trello. That's just the one out of all the ones that are available that I've chosen. And again, I think it's what we get comfortable with over the long haul, because so many people, and I'll say this and then move on. So many people get so caught up in, that's Mark hammering in the background if you can hear him. So many people get caught up in investigating all the tools and tricks of the trade that they never get on with the trade.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So don't get stuck there. Don't say, oh, well, maybe this is better. And then, 3 months in go, oh my gosh, I learned something. Maybe that's better. Maybe I should take everything I've done and move it over there. And what happens is you never get across the finish line because you're just always looking for a better way to do it. And again, back up on this outline that I'm going through now, moving forward is more important than being perfect. Moving forward is more important than being perfect. So anyway, with that, we'll go on, but we'll revisit the Trello. But yeah, I do like that. So now you're going to write your first draft, and here it is, maintaining forward momentum over perfection. Yeah, so keep moving forward. So focus on clear organization and logical ordering of paragraphs and sentences, express your ideas clearly, and delete large sections and move them over into a separate document to kind of work on them. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm working on a book, I get down in the weeds so far that I go, oh, this paragraph would sound so much better if I did this, 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 and this. And then all of a sudden it doesn't flow with the paragraph I've already written after that. And then I'm like, well, I just kind of shot myself in the knee because now I have to go through and rework everything after it. And so I find, again, just like your whole story has to have a beginning, a middle, and an end, if I want to rework a paragraph, I'll pull that paragraph out, move it to a separate document, and I know where it begins and I know where I want it to end so that the paragraph I already wrote after is still going to flow. And then I can rework that paragraph within those boundaries of that beginning, middle, and end where I know already where I want it to end. I want it to end, with XYZ because that's where the next paragraph begins. And so sometimes it's easier for me to pull it out, move it over, rework it, and then put it back in. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. To the writers in the room, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Okay. So I don't just delete it. I just move it over, rework it there, and then move it back. Now, I might delete it. I might put it over there and go, you know what? Like Sandy, I have to reduce this. Maybe that's the 150 words I really didn't need in this. Maybe it doesn't really move my paper forward. Maybe that's the part that I do need to delete. So now we have to look at paragraph structure. Now, paragraphs are the building blocks of research papers. Each paragraph should focus on a single claim or idea. This isn't always the case when you're writing a novel or a memoir, but it is when you're writing a research paper. So you have to ensure a smooth transition between your paragraphs and cite your sources to avoid accidental plagiarism. Now, writing the introduction. address the what, why, and how in the introduction, you know, what the topic is, why you're writing about it, how it evolves. Be specific about the topic, introduce background and define the key terms, and then highlight the importance of your research and how to build your arguments. Now you've got to compile the body of your research. You have to organize your information logically so that your readers can make sense out of it. But be flexible while you're writing, because again, I always say, you have to start first, clarity comes second. Get it down in writing and then go back. And that's why I like that Trello board, because I can write in sections on my Trello board and I can put different highlighted topics on those cards. And if you use Trello, you know what I'm talking about. And then you can click on that card and move it into another section. If you go, oh, this would fit better here than there, you can move it very easy inside of Trello. So use thesis statements and topic sentences as your guides. And those would be great to put on each Trello card, would be your thesis statement and your topic sentences. And then ensure smooth transitions between your sentences, your paragraphs, and your sections. And then don't forget to write a conclusion, because remember, you're writing this paper, it's all about the conclusion. That's the important part. And I can't tell you the number of times, and Sandy, being an English teacher, maybe can speak to this, how many times that the conclusion is just missing. They finished the paper and they know what the conclusion is, but they didn't sum it up for the reader. So don't forget to go back and summarize your key points and provide that sense of conclusion that, okay, this is, I'm concluding the paper. Okay. And then emphasize how your whole paper supports the thesis. And then you can even discuss the general consequences of your argument and suggest future areas for exploration. Now you think you're done. No, that's just the first draft. Now you have to come back and go through your second draft. So align your vision with your first, identify your assumptions and justify them, be open to rearranging your ideas and cutting out unnecessary sections, incorporate your new ideas that may have emerged during the first draft. And so now on your second draft, you're ready to do the revision process. So you have to go back and double check with what the thesis was supposed to be about to begin with. Remember, you got the order at the beginning on here's what it's supposed to look like. Now go back and check and make sure that you're hitting all the points. And then there's even a checklist here. Did you follow the instructions? Did you engage your readers? Did you present a clear research? Did you have a logical organization and relevance of each paragraph? Go back and double check it with this checklist, okay? And make sure that you're done. And then again, in the frame of having a conclusion and a summary, this one is mine, happy writing and researching. It's a journey of exploration and learning. Each step contributes to a well-structured and impactful paper. Use this guide as a companion throughout your research paper writing process, and happy writing, and may your research endeavors be rewarding. So questions, comments. Everybody ready to write a research paper?
and Elise can do that in 2 hours. So
yes, she can. Yes.
It was such a skill that it was underrated, that now that I think about it, I'm like, man, I really should have put that to work a little bit better, you know?
Oh no.
Sure. Now, Elise, in your virtual assistant, I don't know if you have a menu. Somewhere on your web. I haven't looked at your website lately. I don't know if you have a menu on your website of all the different services that you offer, but that very well could be a service you could offer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then we talk in Build a Better Business. We talk about, once we get all of our products and services on our website, on what we want to offer to our audiences, then how are we going to let people know that those services are available? So then we go through, sprinkling information out across social media. Then we talk about blogging, because you can blog about that. And again, 9 times out of 10, when we want to find out information about something, we Google it, and I'm using the term Google. It's whatever search engine you're using. But we go to our search engine and we say, how do I, and the example I always use is, how do I can tomatoes? And all of a sudden, all of these headlines come up all the way down your page, and you start clicking and looking through those. And nine times out of 10, it's a blog post. Somebody blogged about it. And so all you have to do is if you start blogging about your services, where you're bringing value to your reader, all of a sudden you're going to get exposure and people are going to start clicking through and they're going to go, oh, here's a way that I can get my paper written. Cause I just read this blog from Elise Butler all about how to write a term paper. So there's all kinds of ways that you can get yourself out there. And then blogging is one, podcasting is one. You can have, you know, a virtual assistant podcast and talk about all the different things that people do to help other folks. And you'll have a certain sector of your audience will tap into a podcast. And then of course, last but not least, all of our favorite things to do, not because it makes us all a little nervous, is public speaking. So you can, you know, put your hand up when your local chamber says, we need somebody to speak at our luncheon next month. You can say, I'll do it.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is just make sure, remember, your storytelling is your marketing, is make sure that during our Build a Better Business program, you have crafted your story about once upon a time, here's where I was, but then, and I'm going to use Elise as an example, but then I discovered I could have the lifestyle that I wanted by being a virtual assistant. And now here's what I offer to all my audience on things that I can do for them to make their life easier. And it allows me to live the lifestyle I want to live. And all of a sudden, everybody in the room is like, check, check, check. I need a paper written. I need some social media done. I'm getting a hold of this girl. And all you did was tell your story.
Yeah.
So, Debbie, you had your hand up.
Yes, ma'am. What could Elise put her website in the chat window when she's able to?
Sure.
If she's ready. And I shall put it in there. However, I am in the process of completely recreating my website. So what you see now will not be anything of what is going to be in the new year.
Good.
So
that's okay.
It happens.
Good for Elise. And remember, start first, get clarity second, and that's what she's doing. Yes, Sandy.
The key with a research paper that is outside any of the other type of writing is the quality of the sources. So if you are talking about your ability to write research papers for yourself or others, it's also touting your ability to select the best sources and being able to separate the riffraff. Mm-hmm. Wikipedia is a great place to start, but just to get your ideas of where else you're going to go. If you scroll down to the bottom of Wikipedia and see what references are they using, mm-hmm. Yeah. Then click on those. I know when I would teach, I've had 20 years of experience or more teaching research paper to high school students. And I just found it easier to pick your favorite movie and tell me why it is your favorite movie. So we all started with Rotten Tomatoes because they contained the best critical reviewers. So they're not doing somebody's grandma somewhere who just fell in love with Sound of Music. So the quality of those sources and references are very, very key. So if you are touting your ability to write quality research papers, the ability to research and find the best supportable references is key.
Sandy, thank you for that. I love that. Yes. And I do. I do like Wikipedia. It does give you a lot of references quoted there, and it's a great place to start to get references. Yes. I love that. And Elise put her information right there in the chat. I love it. Executive publishing assistant.
We're pivoting.
Ooh.
We're pivoting. Our authors, course creators, and landlords. We're pivoting.
Ooh, I like it. And again, see, start first, get clarity second. You have to get it out there. And here's why. We never usually start on the starting line with everything all wrapped up and tied up in a bow, saying, this is exactly what I want to do. Very few people have that kind of clarity. And so you have to start because you don't know what you don't know,
right?
When you first start. And I'm sure Sandy can tell you the first thing she ever wrote ever probably wasn't anything near what she's writing today, but you have to start. You have to start. And it takes some courage to start.
Yeah. A yes, lot it of does. People,
and I run into a lot of folks all the time. When they find out what I do, they go, oh, well, I think maybe I'd like to do that someday, but they never want to go across the starting line, let alone get close to the finishing line, because they just are afraid to start because they don't know. It's just the waters are too muddy. You know, they're like, I don't know how to do that.
Yeah.
So, and that is our hope in these classes on Mondays, is that we can give you a blueprint on now your finish line is going to look totally different from my finish line. And each of us, we're going to look totally different because it's what we want to create, each of us separately, but it does give you a blueprint on where to start. And I can remember the first time I heard about ghostwriting, I couldn't believe it. I thought, there's such a thing? I did, for, you know, for whatever reason, it hadn't clicked in my mind that that was even a writing option, because I was such an introvert that I didn't want to put my name on anything. And I thought, but I love to write. And I thought, well, that's just right up my alley. You know, just put me in a back room and slide three meals under the door and I'm happy. And just let me write all day. And and again, that's my fallback. That would be like heaven for me, you know. Just give me these orders on what you want your completed product to look like and just put me in the back room and just let me go to it.
Well, and that's how I got away from my own writing, because it's so much easier for me to please somebody else. Hey, we want you to rewrite the constitution and bylaws of our little organization. I go, sure, they already want me. But who wants a mermaid story? I don't know. So yeah, that ghostwriting is that. They already want you. That's a great place to start.
It is. It is. And it's a great way to monetize if you're trying to get away from punching the time clock and you just want to monetize something. It's a great way to monetize, and you can do it from anywhere in the world, which is another point that I really like. So, and so writing term papers or research papers is just another tool in your toolbox. It's just another product that you can offer. And especially if you have an aptitude toward research, it's a great opportunity to generate some more cash flow for yourself. So I love it. Any questions or comments? And I know we talked about Trello a little bit. So I know Elise uses it, but I just kind of want to jump back over here. Let me find my board. I want to jump back over here, and I have to move the bar out of the way for the Zoom call. Let's see. I'm just going to go to my book, because I think that's probably the one that I have the most. And so on Trello, you create these lists. So I have snippets of storyline. I have my character descriptions. I have my prologue. I have my chapter one. And so as it goes on, you know, here's my chapter one, my chapter two, chapter three. See, so as I go on, there's my different chapters. Okay. And then once, and this just is to give Debbie an idea of how it works. And so then under each one of these lists, you can have these cards. And when you create it, and here's where you can add a card right here at the bottom of each list, you can see where you add a card. And so when I add a card, and see, here's chapter one, 8 pages, 2000 words, and it's on Friday of the week that I'm writing about. And the reason that I made a note there for chapter one, I didn't want to forget that I was on Friday, because I didn't. And here's why I like to use an outline or a plotting thing like this, is because as you're writing, you don't want to lose your place. And I don't want to say, it was Friday morning, blah, 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 blah. And then in the next paragraph say, and tomorrow we got up on Sunday and went to church, because a reader somewhere is going to say, what happened to Saturday? Because you said Friday the girl was in the coffee shop, and now on Sunday and tomorrow the next day she's going to church. What happened to Saturday? And so that's why I made the note right here in my list. And so here is, see, Emily meets a mystery man. He gives her a scarf that looks like Lily's. Lily doesn't show up for coffee meetup. Emily goes to Lily's apartment, then to John's. No one is at home. See, this is how I'm mapping out my story. And I can take this card, see, and I can move it. I can move the card. And that's why I, and that just, that's in essence how the Trello board works, is that you can make these lists and then you make the cards and then you can move the card. So here is my Emily, my description of Emily, and she is my protagonist. So when I pull up the description, Emily is a runner. You know, she has warm brown eyes, a hint of mischief in her smile, you know, blah, blah, blah. So this, and this is a, I just found a picture of Emily, so that when I'm writing about Emily, I can visualize her. Very fit. She's a runner. She's, this is her color of hair. So now when I'm writing, I won't accidentally describe her differently down the road. So anytime I want to write about Emily, I can take this card, see, and I can put it over at the top of wherever I'm writing. You see that?
That makes sense.
You see how easy that is? And here's my whole list of characters. Here's my Lily. Here's my Alex. All right, ladies, calm down. And here's my John, best Lily's best friend. Okay. And then there's Mark, Sarah, and Harper, which is a family that's involved in the story. And then Kelly, the barista. And then this is Catherine Reynolds, the police commissioner in the story. Okay. Does that make sense?
And you took all of these pictures off the internet?
I did, because the pictures are not going to be in the book. The pictures is just so I can visualize my character. I described what I wanted my character to look like, and then I put that, I Googled it, so to speak. I put it over and researched, you know, give me pictures of a girl with that color hair, that height, fit, runner, blah, blah, blah. And then when these pictures came up, I kind of went with my intuition. I said, oh, I just feel like this should be my Emily. And she's very smart. So the girl with the glasses, not that glasses means you're smarter, but we always think about somebody with glasses is kind of a bookworm, you know? And so she just said Emily to me. Now, I'm not going to publish her picture because I just basically took it off the internet, but it helps me keep her in my mind when I'm writing.
Okay. So here's a question. If you're doing a memoir and say, you know, you have the pictures of, you know, who would be included in your, is it okay to go to the internet and create a photo of them, but in the a different format? Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, you just need something. And again, and Sandy, you've written maybe more than the rest of us have, so you might be able to answer this better. But when I'm writing, because I am a visual and I love movies, I love screenplays, I wanted to have a visual of what my character looked like. So if I were writing, let's say, a memoir, and I needed a picture of Uncle John, and I don't have a picture of Uncle John, I might go pick out just an internet picture that resembles Uncle John, so that when I'm writing about Uncle John, that's what I visualize in my mind. So because when you're writing, all you're doing when you're writing is that you are describing the scene, like watching a movie, and you see this movie, now you have to describe the scene. Well, how do you describe Uncle John? You know, is he a little pudgy, short, glasses, balding? You know, who is Uncle John? What does he look like? And so when you're writing that scene, you have to describe what Uncle John looks like. And so for me, it's easier if I have a picture, because that gives me inspiration on my descriptions. Does that make sense?
That would work.
Sandy, any comments there? Oh, you're on mute. You're on mute, Sandy.
Thank you. Yeah. I've got a cough, and it, you know, it's going to pop up when I least want it to.
Oh, I get it.
Yes, you're at a point in which I don't know how accurate you want your memoir to be. And so I would strongly recommend you go this route. Do it however it's going to make you feel the most comfortable getting your story out there. And there are so many different slight variances with memoir as well as everything else. So if you call it a narrative history, that little hint of the word narrative means you may have adjusted some details for the reader's better ability to understand the theme or the goal or the character or all that. So there's going to be a name for what you're writing. So yes, if you find what Kathy has done as far as the visuals will help you, and same with setting, same with the home and the house. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'd be curious. I have a short story running about this person who picks her background for her Zoom things. I mean, why do you have a library? Why do you have a gym? Relative to the idea that you don't have any other choice. But how we choose says something about us. So yeah, mm-hmm. go that route.
Yep, I love it. And I just find that, you know, I wanted to have this board on the wall where I could see my whole story so I could start filling in the parts and pieces of it. And when a scene, and I'll call it a scene, when a scene comes to mind, like, you know, I remember when this happened. So when this scene comes to mind, I can look at the board and go, where should this scene go? Should it go toward the beginning of my story? Should it be in the middle of my story? Where should this scene go? And I realized that because I wanted the lifestyle of traveling and I didn't want to have to always sit in front of my chalkboard at home, I thought Trello was the best way that I could take my board with me. And that's why I did my little segue over to Trello.
So here's another thought. By using the Trello board, if you have something that's very vivid in your mind and you want to write it, you can mm-hmm. put it down on paper, but then you are going to be able to segue mm-hmm. into where you want it to be.
Correct? Right here, snippets of storyline. So if a scene comes to mind and I go, oh, that would make a great scene. Maybe I'm out at an actual legitimate coffee shop. Maybe I am literally sitting in a coffee shop and I see something happen across the room and I say, oh my gosh, that would make a great scene in my book.
I got it. That's
I can write cute. That down and I can put it over here in snippets of storyline. Now, I don't know where I'm going to put it in the book, or maybe it won't even get into the book. Right. But let's see, my whole story starts with Emily in a coffee shop, and this strange man comes up and hands her a matching scarf that she and her roommate Lily had together, and she thinks she dropped her scarf. But when the man leaves, she realizes that it's the second scarf. So now the big question is why did this mystery man have Lily's scarf? Because Lily's been missing for a while. See, and that's where the mystery begins. And so now when I'm in a coffee shop, you know, maybe I see a barista that has a certain personality or what, and I go, oh, that would be a perfect barista for in my book. See, so now maybe I want to write down everything that I saw from a literal coffee shop visit that I'm on personally out in a coffee shop. So anyway, that's where my snippets of storyline come in here. Okay. And so I just put all my snippets over here.
That's a cool, to me, that makes a lot of sense in doing that because like, I won't go into it, but I understand what you're saying and it makes total sense.
Well, Debbie, for you, here's how I can visualize this for you. I could see where you might be watching a movie one night and maybe something going on in that movie triggers a memory for you on something that maybe happened in your life and you don't want to forget the story. But you're not really sure where it's going to fit in your memoir, but you think, oh, I need to include that story in my overall memoir. So now you can just write just that scene.
Right.
I remember on Christmas morning when mom said this, and then that happened, and then this happened, and that would be a great thing to have in my memoir. And just write the story and then save it over here in your snippets.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. What did you do? Just crawl into my brain and see this was exactly what I was just going to talk about? Watching a movie and sparking a memory. That's exactly what I was going to ask.
Well, you know what they say, you got to enter the minds of your audience, not make them enter your mind. So there you
That's
go, Debbie.
Right. You did exactly that.
I'm practicing doing that. So I just thought to myself, what would happen if I were writing a memoir? Well, yeah, even now, when I'll turn to Mark and tell him a story, it's because something triggered that memory. And then I'll go, oh, I remember when I was four, blah, blah, blah. And I tell him the story. Well, if I were writing a memoir, that would be a perfect time to write that little scene down so that I didn't forget to include it in my story. Now, later, and I'll say this, you might have a whole bunch of snippets over there. And later, as you put your story together, maybe a snippet was just a memory for you, but it didn't really move your story forward. And you might decide not to include it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you have to put it in the story just because you wrote the scene down to remember it. It's just, that's just more information that you could put in the story if there's a place for it, if it moves your story forward. But again, you always want to move your story forward. If you're just telling history, and I don't know about you, but when I was in high school, sometimes history wasn't my favorite subject because they were just telling and telling and telling and telling and telling and telling all these things in a history sort of fashion. And I just couldn't hang in there. And so you want to be careful that you're not just telling a bunch of stories to be telling the stories. They might be important to family members, like, oh, that's a nice story about grandma or great grandma that I didn't know. But the average reader, your story has to be moving forward for a purpose.
Right, right. And to go along with sparking a memory in your watching a movie, you know what I do? Because let's face it, we all have the brain capacity of remembering, and I will admit that. So I back the movie up, record it on my phone, and I have all of these on my computer that I have saved so that I can go back, revisit what sparked the memory, and not have to rely on here to, you know, what happened, what was said. And I have to do that. And I can't tell you how many years back I have these memories or movies snippet recorded on my computer.
So again, that gives you a lot of tools where you can then go back and start writing these snippets of storyline to put into your book.
Yeah.
And so that gives you a lot of information. And Debbie, here is where you're way ahead of most. A lot of folks say, oh, someday I'd like to write a book, but I have no idea what to write about. See, you already have all of the information there. You just need to start putting it into words. So, Sandy, jump in if I'm leading any of this group down the path.
I'm just looking at, you know, where you would have still photographs. I could just imagine Debbie's Trello board going snippets of movie lines that mean something to her. And, you know, it depends. Are those folks who have to light a candle or play music or... And if you're motivated by a photo or a snippet from a line, that may be just enough to keep you writing for an hour. And then you will feel it kind of dissipate. And then you go on. And then you think, all those things work very well.
Yeah. Now, I have an aha moment for you, Debbie. Remember when Mason writes, he likes to put quotes at the first part of every chapter?
Yes.
When he writes something, a quote will really resonate with him, and he'll put the quote and who quoted it, you know, who said it, and then he'll write what that means to him.
Right. Right.
You could actually put a quote of the movie that flagged
Ooh.
that memory and
Ooh.
then write what that means to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, you literally could put your movie quotes in your book.
Yeah, because I have the name of the movie, and so on. Okay. Speaking of that, did I miss Mason's last chapter or
It's
last?
all recorded. Yeah, it's all recorded in the academy.
I'm going to have to go back and look at it because he
Yeah.
was doing such a great job. So
Yeah.
thank you for that reminder.
And and if I could add, kind of bringing us to where we had begun as well, kind of a bookend. Again, Elise, your ability to write a research paper, a paper, another key, not only is it the research, but its ability to organize. And here we have Debbie talking about snippets of this and snippets of that. And I have little bits and pieces, and there's the longer the work, the more bits or pieces it is. And it could get confusing because you're working with your own emotional response to things. But your ability to kind of look at it from askance and going, organization wise, the reader would follow this pattern of setup better. And that's another very, very valuable talent to have, to be able to look at all these pieces and saying, okay, you like this? It would probably work here, and then segue or transition to that. So now that's very good skill.
Well, thank you. I definitely appreciate that, and I agree. I think that with the more creative things, so book writing and whatnot, like I definitely love those Trello boards. And something else, Debbie, if you are interested in looking in, I use a system called ClickUp. So it's essentially your Trello board, but it's a little less visual, like picture-wise, it's not as pretty. It helps me to kind of contain my thoughts. And I use it for everything. So anything that's in there, basically, I have a workspace. So that contains, say that's my brain. I have the I have my space, which is like the heading of the or like the chapter. Then I have my folder, which is like the individual pieces of it and tasks. So like everything kind of falls into like a waterfall organization for me in case I want to either add something in or if I find something that
Good.
works for my brain,
That's good.
throw it in a card.
That's good.
So you and I could do a Zoom and you could show me how you do that.
I would absolutely love to do that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Now, Elise, I could bring you on to one of our Build a Better Business calls, and you could record it and show it to the group.
There we
Yeah.
go.
Good idea.
Good. I didn't. Gee, there you go.
We just drafted her. I love it. Okay. Aha moments. We're at the top of the hour. What is your big aha moment for today?
There's so many opportunities to one, get into your craft, two, perfect what it is that you want to do with your craft. And three, the creative freedom to completely pivot away from that and go to something else if that's what's calling you because that's what's inspiring you at the moment. I love that.
Yeah.
Good points, Elise. Great points. Anyone else? Any aha moments today? Mine was when I discovered that I could take my pegboard off the wall and put it on Trello and take it with me in my laptop everywhere I go. That was my big aha. And so now, if I have some downtime or an af rainy afternoon or whatever, I can work on my book and I don't have to go, oh, I can't because it's back home on the wall.
Yeah.
Well, and the importance of research, even if you just want to use a particular car from a particular period, that it's hard to get away, even in the most whimsical of storytelling, not to know some research is involved. So. it brings authenticity to your writing.
Yes. I have an author in our authors group, and she has a whole series of books, and she set one of her books in Venice. Well, I just came back from Venice in Italy, and she did her research and wrote this whole book, and the setting is in Venice, and boy, oh boy, was she right on. And I said, have you ever been to Venice? And she said, no.
Oh, wow.
And so she really did her research.
which author was that?
Mary Mars.
Mary Mars?
Mary Mars.
Mm-hmm. Really? I'm looking for new books to read.
She has a series of 20, and it's kind of her life. But what she did is she took all of the main characters out of her world and reworked them a little bit and made it a fictional series.
Really?
Only she knows which characters are her and Uncle Joe.
Oh, that sounds right up your alley, sort of, Deb.
My takeaway was this. I actually have been away from this particular meetup for 2 months, well, since September. And what you did today was you reminded me of what I have, and that by taking the Trello board and mentioning that I have all these movie clips, now I can take those, put them into my board, and they're going to be there. And I don't have to constantly go back and look through my recordings, even though on the my I have a file where all my a lot of them are. I still have some to put in there. But this enables me to, it gives me back more control of my time to do what I really want to do. And this has been great. Now, I'm not good at writing a paper in 2 hours.
It was a stress response, you know?
No way. Never have and never will. I need my time.
Well, I love this. Sandy, thank you so much for being on. And check out House of Secrets by Sandy. And Elise, thank you for tapping in. And I love your new, I'll call it your VPS, your title, Executive Publishing Assistant. I can't wait to hear more how that unfolds for you as you get more and more clarity. And Debbie, I hope we've inspired you to get back to your memoir and get it mapped out a little bit on a Trello board. And after we get through, and I'll just mention this, I don't know for a fact I'm going to do this. So it depends on the kind of interest we have. But once we get through the ways to monetize writing, because I've got a couple of more things to talk about each month. But then I want to get into the formula. And Sandy, tell me what you think about this. And I know Sandy's heard of it. Of Save the Cat with all of the beats. Is that something that would be beneficial to the group, you think?
You know, because writing can be scary because it's so huge of a task, Save the Cat puts it in a perspective that's easy to grasp. So yes, it's good.
So what I want to do is once I get through the ways to monetize writing, and we're not talking about, I mean, writing a book is one of the ways, but we talked about ghostwriting and paper writing and blogging and all these different ways to monetize our writing. Once we start the next series on Save the Cat, there are 15 beats in the beat sheet of Save the Cat. And what it is, it's a way to have that beginning, middle, and end of any kind of a story. And you can condense that down into a blog post. You can make it into a full-fledged novel. I mean, you can use that that formula so many different ways. And that's why I just, it's kind of like the hero's journey formula, which Debbie's familiar with, and Elise, I've talked about several times in the Build a Better Business, where we craft our story for, which is writing. You're writing your story because your storytelling is your marketing, no matter what product you're selling. Everybody loves a good story. And so we talk about the hero's journey. It's just another, I don't want to call it another form of the hero's journey. It's another option other than the hero's journey is to use the save the cat formula. And anyhow, we'll get into that. So if any of you want to kind of research that ahead of time, you'll see what I'm talking about. But we're going to get into that in a couple of lessons out. We're going to get into how to use the 15 beats of Save the Cat. Yes, Debbie.
Just to make sure I got this correct, it's Save the Cat, CAT.
Save. Yep. Save the cat.
Okay. All
And
righty.
oh, Sandy has it.
Oh, how
Okay,
cool.
Sandy has the book. Cat hanging off of for dear life. By Blake Snyder.
Yeah, Blake has since passed away since he's written the book, but he was a screenplay writer, and he said every screenplay had to have these high points. And he wrote Save the Cat to describe the 15 beats, the 15 high points that every screenplay has to have. So, and again, as an overview, when I'm talking about writing, and when I again, when I was talking about using the Trello board, I visualize the scene in my mind. And, I picture it in my mind's eye because we're so familiar with watching movies that I picture the scene and then describe the scene from there, put the scene in writing. So I first pictured Emily sitting in a coffee shop with in the fall with the fall leaves all around. The wind blowing because it was cold enough that she was wearing the scarf. I couldn't picture her in Florida, in 90 degree weather and then talk about a scarf. And so I pictured her in the fall with her latte, hot latte, sitting in her favorite booth in a coffee shop. She always goes to, the barista knows her, calls her by name, good morning. And she's sitting there in the booth, doing her thing. And when this mystery man comes up and hands her scarf, and right away she thinks she's dropped her scarf. And he then turns and leaves. And that's when, after he leaves, she realizes she now has two scarves. Well, the only other person that had a matching scarf was her best friend Lily, who's been missing. So, and that's, of course, where the mystery starts. So I had to picture that. And then I had to write the smells, the brightness of the sun, the color of the leaves, the leather on the booth. I had to describe that so that the reader could picture it. And so that's what the Save the Cat is all about, is getting those beats in so that as you tell your story, you don't miss all of the high points.
Yes, and because he uses movies as his way of explaining things, you will identify quickly with it because you seem to be a movie watcher as well. And there's looking at it from a money-making point of view, if you look at your novel or stories as a full-length feature film, sometimes that's the ultimate for some writers, hoping that they'd be able to cash in a whole lot and see their favorite stars starring in their own stories. So, how do you do that? Just what Kathy said. Create the scene as if you've got somebody in the audience watching it, as if you have somebody in the book just seeing it, just like that on a movie screen. So, that's how you kind of bring your story to life.
Okay, has this been helpful for everybody? Yes?
It sure has.
All right. And you can use these tools even if you're just writing a blog post. Yeah, the tools are the tools once you learn the tools.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I love it. All right, folks, until next time, tap into kathybinner.com, scroll down to the calendar if you've lost the link and you need to know what's on what day and how to get the new Zoom link. Just go to the calendar, kathybinner.com, and click through. And once you register, you only need to register once and you'll get the code. It's going to be the same code for everything. So, Throw away your card, Debbie.
I, you know, it's funny. When I looked at it, I said, oh, that means I got to rip this up and start again.
I love it. I love it. You'll have to keep that one for memory's sake, because how long have you and I been doing this? We started together on my dining room table,
Oh,
putting
wow.
my programs together. Debbie and I started on my dining room table in 2015.
15. Yes, it was a year after my mom died.
Yeah, cool.
Well, sort of.
I love it.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year, everyone.
Yes.
All the best.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Yes.
Yes.
Merry
Then.
Christmas, everyone. See you later.
Elise, we'll be in
Bye.
touch.
Yes, Debbie's. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.